Hey, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. Today, we have a very special guest, Oliver Villanueva. Welcome to the podcast, Ollie.
Well, thank you, Damon, for having me here today. And hello, everybody on the interwebs listening. It is good to be here.
So, Ollie, for each of our guests, we have a very special question that we ask each one. And that question is, what has God been highlighting to you recently? So what's God been teaching you?
I think the main thing that God is teaching me right now is to be open to whatever he has in store. Mm. And if you have any concerns or, anything that's any doubts, that that's kind of our human understanding, and that to let God in and let him take care of those things and move forward with it. Because, right now I've been in a season where I recently took on the role of being a children's ministry teacher. Mm. Now, I would never have imagined in my whole life that I would ever fall into that ministry. I always saw myself previously. I thought my sweet spot would be with the high school, because I felt like I really resonated with the high school kids. But then, yeah, just things happened, with the pandemic, and I kind of dabbled into children's ministry that way, but that was like virtual, and then ultimately it led me to the opportunity to take a role of being a teacher it's like I said, never in a million years would I have imagined to take that role, because I never really saw myself as a teacher, let alone a teacher of kids at that age. Mm-hmm. When that opportunity came, I didn't say no right away. I said, okay, I'll think about it. I prayed about it, and I really sensed that the Lord was telling me, like, don't worry about those things. I know you're thinking about this and that, these little details. How am I going to be able to keep the kids entertained, keep them in check? How will I be able to know whether or not I'll be able to teach them? They'll learn something. And yeah, I think once I let go of those concerns and I just let God take control and let God kind of work through me in the way that he designed me. Mm. It's crazy. Like, things just came to me the way that I felt that I would like to lead the classes. Mm-hmm. Just the resources. And so about like a couple of weeks ago, I had my first class, and it was really fun. It was really fun. The kids, like, just in the exercises and the teachings alone, I mean, I don't want to speak for them, but I think that they had a lot of fun. And I had fun too as an instructor. And I was like, wow, okay, I think I can see myself doing this. It took was just me saying, okay, Lord, I'm going to give this to you. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm just going to just leave this at your feet, and I'm just going to ask for you to intercede. And yeah, I mean, praise God, because it's like, wow, okay, I think this is going to be an interesting ride, but I'm looking forward to it.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. So you didn't see this, Ollie, but we're sitting in the old Ahava room at the Freedom Center, and Brett is in here too. As Ollie's talking about stepping into this role as a teacher, Brett is doing the Arsenio Hall hoo-hoo-hoo in the background, so... So Ollie, we are so thankful that you are stepping into this role to help to teach our kids and using your giftings. So Ollie, one of the things that has been neat about seeing you grow as you've been coming to our church is seeing you stepping into your passion area, which is visual arts and ministry. We've seen this on the stage where you've produced and directed and written some of our Christmas and Easter programs. We saw it during the pandemic with Mr. Ollie's Arcade. So how did you get into creative arts, and how's the Lord been leading you in that? And when did you decide, I need to do this for ministry?
Yeah, I think, I guess it all started back when I was a kid, you know. So I was basically like an 80s baby. So if you're an 80s baby, you know, there was a lot of really cool things that have amassed from pop culture to today, whether, you know, Star Wars became the strong, you know, became really popular, Superman, Back to the Future. So as a kid, and then also going to Disneyland, since we live so close to it, and I would go as a kid a lot, you know, just being really enamored and being really mesmerized by all those things, like just entertainment in general. And I really thought that, you know, I really got myself interested in all those things, not and where I would like really watch as many movies as I can. And then I got into like video games. So the whole spectrum of media and music. So I really enjoyed that as a kid. And then it wasn't until I went to high school where, so I'm, if you guys don't know me, I'm kind of an introvert by nature. I grew up really shy. And so when I was a kid, my mom encouraged me that I needed to step out of my shell. So one of the things that she recommended was theater. And I never really saw myself really getting into that. I liked admiring it, but then I didn't really see what, you know, any value in I just like to just observe. But then when I got into it, oh man, I caught the theater bug right away. And the theater being on stage allowed me to, step out of my shell. But not only that, but tap into some creative things that I didn't know I had in terms of, well, for on one hand, performing, but then also just coming up with just different ideas and how to communicate with the audience in a way that made things entertainment, but then entertaining, and also try to like form that connection so that the audience would watch and go, well, you know, something about this person on stage that resonates and see, just my performance, how it could be an impact on others.
Yeah. So when did you feel like you wanted to transition this love for theater and use it in a ministry-wise, in a context?
It came maybe so I was inspired, especially when I came here to Catalyst, and I remember the youth were doing a youth service, and it was really, I thought it was really interesting and creative. You know, they were doing like a Saturday Night Live parody, and I just really got a kick out of that. And I said, oh, that's really cool. I could help out with that. I could, you know, it'd be so fun to kind of come up with some ideas and try to tie, you know, like comedy and all these comedy drama into what we learn, you know, spiritually. That way, I don't want to say it's like to make it, you know, more interesting, and maybe like, yeah, you know, people can be entertained at the same time.
Yeah. And it's been neat to see how, as you grow, you know, you'd mentioned that you were an introvert. And so when I first met you, that's the person that I saw was this introvert. And once we started to see you coming out and doing more of your visual arts ministries and things like that, I was like, wow, this is a side of Ollie that I'd never seen before. But I really felt like that's more of who you are than the introverted side that I'd seen before. So it's been really neat to get to know you, Ollie, and seeing your love for media and these things. And one of the things that we talk about a lot is how do we interact with media and not just protect ourselves and hide from, you know, the things of this world and the culture, but how do we interact with it and how do we prepare ourselves to be able to discern what the Lord is speaking? So Mimo has been sending me a lot of podcasts recently. And one of the things that, one of the recent podcasts that she sent me, the terms were protecting versus preparing. And so it kind of brought to mind this article that you had sent me, Ollie, right before the movie Encanto came out. And the article's from Pop Sugar, and it's entitled, Disney's Encanto is a First Step in Normalizing Latinx Spirituality in Mainstream Films. Can you kind of share with our audience a little bit why you wanted to send me that article?
Yeah, you know, I want to preface it with this, that, yeah, like, media is, we all know that it's not necessarily, quote unquote, all godly, but, you know, there's a lot of things that we enjoy, even as Christians, that can be outside of that spectrum. And when I said that to you, you know, I think because, let's face it, I mean, Disney is a really big part of our society, mm-hmm. in terms of, especially for families, for kids, they have a huge imprint on, you know, laying some kind of foundation and kids and helping them, you know. I mean, on the surface, they have a lot of good values, but then there's also things that maybe could be questionable. Mm-hmm. So one of it is kind of what we're, you know, in the article about how it's, you know, this whole normalization of, especially for us Christians, you know, we would, you know, we might read that article and right away we would say, oh, I don't know if I want to watch Encanto, because if it's going to deal with this whole mysticism and magic, that it might not, you know, it might not be good for me or for my kids or whatnot, you know. But I kind of want to preface it with this. You know, I think people have their own tolerances, mm-hmm. right? And I think it's important to really know yourself. Mm-hmm. And also, I think it's also important really to listen, to have your ears tuned to the Lord and to the Holy Spirit. Because, yeah, I mean, I think not everybody, you know, people will receive this in different ways, right? And we can get that more on that later, but I believe that... yeah, I sent that back to you because I felt like, well, this is something to talk about because, right, our kids, our families at church are going to watch this movie. Mm-hmm. Will they know about this whole underlying theme of what's going on, or is it be something that they, would they want to question it, or do they want to, you know, how are they going to process it, mm-hmm. other than being on the surface as something as an entertainment?
Yeah, so I after... we had, you know, read this article, and then after seeing the movie, we had a really good discussion about what this movie really is about. And, you know, I think the article was trying to highlight certain elements of the movie that I didn't personally feel were as highlighted in watching the movie, but it seemed like they were trying to push a certain agenda. And one of the things that we talked about is that, you know, in reading this article, some Christians might just say, oh, this is not for me. I don't want to see it. I don't want my kids to see it. And really, that's not what the movie was mainly about. And it's an interesting thing with that movie in particular, because I think the main theme of that movie, spoiler alert, sorry. Yeah, spoiler. So if you haven't seen it yet, spoiler alert, we might be talking a little bit about what that movie is actually about. But one of the themes of that movie is really, where does your value come from? Right. And, you know, that truth is something that the main character has to deal with, because she's someone that doesn't have a special gift in the world's eyes, and all of her family members do. And we recognize in the movie that even though these family members have their special gifts, because they're finding their value in those gifts, it's really a rocky foundation. And the movie points to this place where they need to find their foundation and their value in who they are and not what they do, which that's a common theme that we talk about at Catalyst a lot, is where do you get your value from and where's your identity come from? And when it comes from our performance, that's shaky foundation. Mm-hmm. And the Lord wants us to get our value from Him. And that's why He sent Jesus, to show us how much He was willing to pay for us, which is how much value we have. And that's something that we can then talk to our kids about, is where does your value come from after watching this movie? And so sometimes we might miss some things that the Lord might be speaking to us if we just, you know, shut it out or decide not to go in that direction or watch that movie or listen to that thing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely. You know, I had the pleasure of serving in a few ministries throughout my life, all in the media spectrum. So I did a missions trip with the video game missions team, and they would go to conventions and have a you know, be like a friendly presence. Mm-hmm. Not like the ones that post signs and stuff, but more like, hey, not only are, you know, we're into the same stuff that you are. We play video games. We watch anime. We're into the same stuff you guys are. But we also have a father who loves us, and we want to share and we want to impart that love onto you guys. And you know what it took was definitely being in that, right? Because mm-hmm. you know, we talk about being in the world but not of it, right?
Yeah.
So, it's having that, being able to have a conversation and being in a what they called fandom,
mm-hmm.
Because that really opens up dialogue and you know, right now with this season in our church is engaging. You know, we're in a season right now where we're trying to outreach mm-hmm. and bring people to Jesus. So what is that first step is trying to kind of engage and meet people where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
And rather than just saying, oh no, I can't watch Encanto. Encanto is about this whole like spirituality that's not of the Lord. But yeah, again, I'm going to preface it with, you know, I say this, but also listen to yourself, right? I mean, if you really feel that it's in your, if you feel led that, I still can't, you know, your conviction to not watch it or not to really get into those things, I mean, then that's between you and God, and I think that's fine too. But at the same time, that's what I'm saying, is like having the ability to know yourself and listen to what God tells you, because it could be different, right? You know, but then that's the whole thing too with being people missions, is people have to be out there in the trenches with, you know, being able to, for us as Christians, to evangelize and be where the people are.
Yeah. So it sounds like you're saying that we don't want this to be a legalistic thing,
sure.
right? Where it's, you know, a blanket covering of, I'm not going to watch any movies about spirituality, or I'm not going to do this or that, but more, I'm going to live in relationship with the Lord and seek the Lord of, is this something that you want me to do? And is there a purpose for it? Right. And so the movies like Encanto, it's one of the best movie, or not best, I don't know about best, but it's one of the most viewed movies of the year. And there's a lot of non-believers that are watching it. And it can be a connection point where we are able to share with them biblical truths that are portrayed in this movie with non-believers. In a medium that they're watching and that they're taking in.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a book that I been reading, and I recommend to those who are interested. It's called Movies Are Prayers, from a film critic named Josh Larson, who happens to be, he wrote this because he wanted to give a perspective of how movies function as expressions to God, whether it's lament, praise, joy, confession, and more. And in the book, he refers to this article from another critic named Elisa Wilkinson from Christianity Today. The title is called Why We Review R-Rated Films. Now, I was reading this, I was like, you know, this can also, because I feel like there's movies across where they can tell a great message, but again, because of this R rating. But then at the same time, there could be movies that are not R, that could be PG, PG-13, that on the surface, you know, may feel like, oh, they might, you know, on one hand contradict or whatnot, how we feel. But anyway, I wanted to read this because I thought it was really prevalent to our discussion. It says, the author writes for Why We Review R-Rated Films, because we want to raise questions, not give answers. Because we want Christians to be some of the most thoughtful conversation partners and culture makers you can find. because we want to celebrate the excellent and mourn what's bad, even if those two things show up in the same place, because we want to serve our readers as they love their neighbors. So again, it's having that understanding where even if you don't like it, you know, somebody can say, oh, I don't like Encanto. Well, why don't you like Encanto? Oh, because I just heard it has some bad spiritual stuff. Well, why? Or, you know, so I think for some of us, it serves to like really like be involved in and kind of get yourself exposed to it. That way you can have, yeah, like more thoughtful conversations and use those as talking points to, especially to people who are non-believers and maybe say, well, how does this, you know, how do you feel about this movie? And does that affect your spiritual life? Or, you know, and so, you know, amongst other questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's interesting in the book and the quotes that you read that they were talking about celebrating the good and then also lamenting the bad. And so I know that something that's been on your heart is the state of Christian movies and Christian media recently,
yeah,
especially, which has gotten a lot better.
Yes, yes.
But at the same time, we still need to be critical of that and recognize, you know, celebrate the good, and then but also recognize that there is a quality that, you know, we want the church to be seen as something that is doing excellent work, right? And so I know that's something that's close to your heart. Do you want to comment on that?
Yeah, so I remember when I began my spiritual walk with the Lord and really being born again, you know, I was watching this one movie. I'm going to protect the identity of said movie, but, you know, it was hit, you know, from a standpoint of maybe as a teaching, I think it was great.
Mm-hmm.
But from a movie standpoint, I was like, at the end, I was looking for a grater because there was so much cheese on it. I was just like, I think I'm ready to have some spaghetti and meatballs and going to grate this cheese over this, because I was just like, at the end, it was just too many things just kind of wrapped up in a way that just felt unbelievably like, okay. And it was just, yeah, I mean, it was a little bit too corny for my taste. But, you know, like I said, I came there with an open mind and thinking like, okay, well, you know, this is, I hope, I mean, I could see what they're doing with, mm-hmm, with the movie, but it's like, oh, there's got to be a, I mean, but there's, it's a good start, at least for that, you know, I'm sure that wasn't the first one. But you know what? Yeah. Over the years, I mean, it has really evolved and they're getting better. I wouldn't say that they're, you know, I still think they still have a lot of work, but they've really gotten better. I mean, the most recent one I watched was American Underdog.
Mm.
For those of you that don't know, American Underdog is the life story of Kurt Warner, who, you know, he worked his way up, grew up in Iowa, or worked and tried to fight for his way up to the NFL, had to swallow his pride and work grocery stores, and then ended up becoming part of the greatest show on turf in 2000 to win the Super Bowl with the Rams. So it was really uplifting, and, you know, I could tell, like, the production values have improved and, like, the storytelling and sometimes, too, is how to be a Christian movie without being a Christian movie, like, being really in your face about the whole Christianity thing. Because mm-hmm. There's a lot of good movies there that, going again to the movies or prayers, that are really good Christian movies that maybe aren't, like, Christian on the surface. One good example that I always point to is The Blind Side,
mm-hmm.
with Sandra Bullock. And you know, it's a movie about taking someone in and loving on them and investing on them, to the fact where it's the true story of Michael Orr, where he ended up, you know, becoming a player in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And it took having this family taking this outsider in and loving and you know, investing in someone. And so, you know, that's a lot of Christian values there, is to love on your neighbor. And so, yeah, I mean, I'm excited to see. And I think that I think we as a church now are more cognizant of really being aware of this mountain of entertainment mm-hmm. and how we can use that as a vehicle to not only bring the word of God to life, but to entertain us as well so mm-hmm. that we as Christians are fed that, okay, well, because we want to be entertained too. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're human, right? Mm-hmm. And we want to have a good time and we want to be engross ourselves in stories. So, you know, and then you have things like The Chosen, right? The Chosen is a really good series that really takes the gospel and really takes it into the new storytelling that I think people have figured out that, you know, this whole episodic thing that told in like long chapters with taking the time to develop characters too and show the, not just the black and whites, but the grays mm-hmm. of characters. So, yeah, I mean, I think Christian entertainment is heading in the right direction. And like I said, I'm excited to see where it's going in the future.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's as we're talking and as we're discussing this, it seems to me that God is highlighting just because it's secular doesn't mean it's bad, and just because it's Christian doesn't mean it's good yeah. or under these labels. But really what it's going to come down to is discerning with the Lord, being in relationship with Him, seeing what He wants to speak into us or speak to us through the media, because really that's what media is it's a vehicle to translate a story or a message. And so what can the Lord be speaking to us through this story, this media, this content, and how can we share that with other people? And He can use Christian things, and He can also use secular things to do that. And so that's what it's neat with you, Ollie, is that when we have these discussions about what can the Lord speak to us through these different movies or TV shows or videos or different things. And that's one of the things that I really enjoy about our conversations is really seeking the Lord and what can He be telling us and what can He be teaching us through these? And then how can we also teach those things to our kids? So Ollie, just lastly, do you have anything else that you would like to leave our audience with?
Yeah. There's, you know, I think one thing that I learned too in the church and just to discern with God is to know, for one thing, to listen to yourself, as we said, but then also to see if there's any spiritual, like, backing to this, like, for example, in the Bible. And I'm reminded of Acts 17, verses 16 through 34, when Paul goes to Athens and he sees all the statues there of their gods, but then he sees one that has one that says to an unknown god. And although he doesn't agree with the gods there, but he uses that and he kind of evangelizes and preaches. And he says here, I'm going to read from verse 22. It says, Paul then stood up in the meeting of Areopagus, I think, and said, people of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription to an unknown god. So you are ignorant of the very thing you worship, and this is what I'm going to proclaim to you. And so that's when he also talks about God. So in a way, he shows that reverence to what they were, you know, to what they were worshiping, but also sharing, using that as an opportunity to share the good news with the people there. So, I want to just share, yeah, like I said, just be able to listen to yourself and just know where you are, you know, where your family is. And, as long as that's okay too, and then to be able to use that to discern whether you're not to watch, you know, whatever you guys want to watch. And then as long as that's in good taste and it's in good, you know, it's in good sync with where you're at spiritually, then, you know, I think it'd be fun. And also it's a good way to really to outreach to people, mm-hmm. you know. So that's kind of one of the things we're kind of doing now in as a family, is we're like inviting people to, you know, come and watch movie nights, and that's a good way to bring people, and then that's kind of a good way to start the engaging process. So yeah, I mean, you know, this life is, there's a lot of joy to be had in this life, and there's a lot of things to enjoy, especially you know, God works through creativity, and there's a lot of creativity that people have, secular or non-secular, and being able to discern that and to enjoy that is, it's a beautiful thing to see God's creations in all of us.
Yep, God is the original creator of everything. So, so thank you, Ollie, for spending your time with us. We had a really good time. I really enjoyed our conversation, like always when we talk about movies and stuff. So thanks.
All right. Thank you, guys.
So for all you listening out there, check us out on the next Engage to Flourish podcast. Thanks for listening to the Engage to Flourish podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on Spotify, Apple, or Google Podcasts. You can check out more of our content on our YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook pages by searching for Catalyst Christian Community. If you want to check out our church in person, we meet every Sunday at 10 a.m. at Stanford Middle School in Long Beach. We'd love for you to come out and experience being a part of our church family.